You are listening to the voice of the Frontline Protector here at the Private Officer Beat Radio. Every week, you'll hear breaking news, topics of training, information for the industry of security, public safety, and law enforcement. So strap in, hang on, we're about to speed off in this episode of the Private Officer Beat Radio. Welcome, man, this edition of the Private Officer Beat Radio. Great to have you. Joining you today is going to be a very special guest. Me. Oh, my goodness. October the 25th, 2021, almost completely gone. We have a lot of things that I want to get to today. Of course, a lot of breaking news. We're also going to introduce you a couple of brand new services. We've been talking about this for a number of months. And so much more happening. Of course, we do have, and I say this reluctantly, but we always have sad news to deliver. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but we do have some officer deaths and officer shot in the past week. We have some triumphant news, security officers who overcame the force and overcame different situations that they were involved in, including one who delivered a baby at a hospital. And this was quite suddenly. We'll be introducing you to that security officer and telling you more in this edition of the Private Officer Radio, sponsored by Private Officer International, a private security and law enforcement organization. Remember, you can be part of the conversation 24 hours a day simply by going to Facebook/ Private Officer International and over on Twitter at twitter.com/ Private Officer. Be sure to also check out our daily news blog at privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com. privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com. Well, this has been a pretty interesting week. On top of all of the news that's been happening, some of which I just told you about, we also had a number of major cases that have gone through the judicial system. And in one case, it was the murder of a security officer. We'll be telling you more about that, as well as a kidnapping and assault, attempted murder of a security officer, and we'll be telling you about that. And then we have several other cases decided in the courts involving use of force by security officers. So we obviously want to tell you about that as well. Of course, we also want to tell you about coming up this week, the third annual Tribal Symposium out in California near San Diego. If you're in that area, it's not too late to sign on and get a pass, make a reservation. Go to NativeNationsEvents.org, NativeNationsEvents.org. And if for whatever reason you cannot make that one, they have a bigger, better one coming up in NOLA, New Orleans, Louisiana, the week before Mardi Gras. And that is going to be pretty spectacular, especially if you mix the two together. Oh, brother. That is going to be quite the event. We'll be sure to be involved in that one as well. And they have other events going on throughout the year. If you're a security business owner, someone who maybe provides services or products to the security industry, hotels, resorts, casinos, it might be a good thing for you to get involved with this organization that sponsors these events throughout the year across the country, nativenationsevents.org. Contact them today. We have representative going to be at the event in San Diego. We have plans to be in Wisconsin coming up soon. We are making our travel plans for large events, training. We use a lot of simulation, a lot of hands-on, all scenario-based. If your company, your church, you want to get involved in the training opportunities, all that you have to do is contact helpdesk@privateofficer.com. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Be sure also to go to Armor College and sign up for some of those specials, including mental health education for first responders. You are a first responder, and you need this training. Even if you don't participate in the actual patient care, just going to a scene and seeing someone acting out or acting violently or somebody who appears to have no control of themselves, you need to be able to identify it, understand what type of mental health emergency it might be, how critical it is, and get the right people there. Stop saying, it's not my job, I'm just here to observe and report. That is part of observing, but how will you ever be able to professionally tell a medical provider what's happening if you don't have that specific training yourself? Be sure to go to armorcollege.org. We are right now looking at 2022 to be a very large year for on-site training. We kind of reduced it substantially in 2020, and again this year in 2021, we have had some on-site training, but next year we plan on really bringing a lot of cool stuff. I might as well tell you now, I'm not good at keeping secrets. We are going to be introducing virtual reality training along with our scenario-based training. I'm telling you what, until you see these two things come together, you just have no clue. But this is really top of the line technology interfacing with real live interactions. So you're going to see, you're going to have some classroom training, then you're going to have some virtual reality, and then you're going to go to actual scenario situations. So we're looking forward to it. It's a very expensive proposition and something that, I hope and I think that will pay off in the long run. Again, if you're looking for training at your location, we do a lot of medical training, first aid, CPR, advanced training, naloxone, oxygen. We also do EMR, emergency medical response, EMT, and advanced EMT, which is one level below paramedic. Contact helpdesk@armor, A-R-M-O-U-R, college.org. And also, we do a lot of church security, use of force, taser, weapons training, and so much more. If you don't see it on the website, that doesn't mean it's not there. We have hundreds of courses and programs, and we cannot list them all. Contact helpdesk@armorcollege.org. Believe me, we probably already are teaching it, and if not, we certainly can put together a class for you. We are going to take a quick break, coming right back. We got a lot to talk about, of course. The virtual museum, we have, unfortunately, the bad news, sad news to deliver from the week past, some court cases that we really want to look at hard, and breaking news. We'll be right back at the Private Officer Beat Radio.
Without this woman, my father couldn't have had his hip replaced. without these people, I'd be dead.
This man helped my son through leukemia.
Do something amazing. Give blood.
It's a very simple thing. It only takes 2 seconds. We all know we should do it. We all say we do it. But do we? About 35,000 people were killed in motor vehicle accidents last year. More than half were not wearing a seatbelt. A brother, a father, a mother, a best friend. Is it worth it? I lost a sister. Don't let it happen to you and your family. Tell the people you love to buckle up.
Welcome back to this edition of the Private Officer Beat Radio. It's advisable to do your research and your due diligence as regularly as possible and educate yourself on Supreme Court rulings and appeal decisions that affect both private security and law enforcement. This past week, we spent some time reviewing such a case. And although we don't have as much time here on the radio program as we'd like to go through all the particulars, I do want to give you the cliff notes. You can research it further. A court case was brought in 2020 to the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. This asked the Court of Appeals whether or not a security officer employed by a third-party vendor for the Chicago Housing Authority was a state actor, meaning was he an agent for law enforcement? And as such, would the Fourth Amendment apply to the searches and seizures that the security officer conducted? The facts was that on January 27, 2017, a security officer on patrol of a housing complex employed by AGB Investigative Services began patrolling an area including a laundry room where they stopped a suspect who was acting suspicious and frisked him on the property. They discovered a handgun and he was charged subsequently with being a convicted felon in possession of a firearm. This would essentially make it a federal case. Now, the attorney for the defendant filed a motion to suppress that firearm because he argued that it was an illegal search conducted by the security officer who was indirectly employed by the Chicago Housing Authority and that he acted under the color of law and violated the Fourth Amendment for illegal, improper searches. And the court found that he indeed was an agent and that search should not have been conducted, nor the evidence of the firearm allowed during trial. The district court, however, ruled that the security officer lacked reasonable suspicion and denied the court case, denied that claim. The defendant did eventually enter a plea of guilty with the right to appeal the motion. On appeal, again, the issue was raised whether or not the security officer was an agent of the state, even though he worked for a private company. This time, it was found that he was, in fact, an agent and had acted illegally. This was picked up by the Supreme Court, and after reviewing the fact that even though the Chicago Housing Authority has a police department with full police authorities under the state of Illinois, the security guard did not. He was simply doing security duties when he stopped a suspicious person in the laundry facility of the apartment complex. AGB, Investigative Services, was just a delegate doing security guard duties and nothing related to law enforcement. The Seventh Circuit also examined all the relevant information and evidence. And this past week, it was a decision that in fact the security officer was a private person and not operating as an agent of the police, not acting as an agent of the state. The law allows a private person to conduct the search and to make a citizen arrest in Chicago and the rest of Illinois, and therefore was the security officer was just following that law that allowed private security to make those detentions and searches. He was not a state actor. He was not an agent for any law enforcement or government agency, and therefore dismissed the appeal and ruled that it was allowed, and therefore Mr. Green, the arrested person, would remain incarcerated and serve the sentence that he received. And this should be noted for all security officers who work apartments and hotels and other properties where occasionally they may have to conduct a simple pat down for weapons. I know from having to work many housing projects and gated communities that sometimes we do have a contract to stop vehicles and we do search vehicles and we do pat downs. Make sure that you're doing it as part of your contract and that you have not been told to do so by a sworn law enforcement officer, which would make you a agent of the police. Similar situations happen pretty regularly in schools where police cannot search a locker without probable cause or a warrant or without the permission of the school. Many times the police working in concert with security on the property will search bags and lockers and other areas that probably would not have the legal jurisdiction to do so. And they use a security officer to do the work, dirty work. And that makes them the agent of the police. Be sure that you do understand the difference between you working and acting as a security officer and that of being under the direction of law enforcement. So that was a very interesting case. You can research these on Google. You can also find them at several depositories where they have court cases for law enforcement online. And I recommend that you go there as frequently as possible. You can also get them sometimes posted in various police magazines like police.com and others that are both online and in hard copy. If you would like to be a part of the virtual museum, and yeah, I'll probably be saying this for the next 6 months, we need you. If you want to help to build this online virtual museum of private security, the history, and the future, please contact helpdesk@privateofficer.com. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We have a lot of breaking news, and sadly, it's not all good. Before I do go to the next break, I do want to let you know about the death of another TSA Security Officer. This was from the Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport. Supervisory Transportation Security Officer Clay King, who had been employed with TSA since 2002, died from COVID. And unfortunately, this is about 35 or more TSA officers who have died and thousands of others who have been infected while on the job of COVID. And like I say repeatedly, this is a real virus. It does kill. It's not just people who are 90 or people with underlying diseases. It kills the young and the old. Vaccines are not 100%, but they certainly are recommended. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with a lot more news. Remember, if you want to get involved with Private Officer and be part of any of our committees, our training groups, our dialogue groups, all that you have to do is contact helpdesk@privateofficer.com.
In a minute, I'm going to drown in this pool, surrounded by friends and relatives. That's because Dad thinks Mom is watching me, and Mom thinks Dad is. But actually, nobody is watching me. And you rarely make a sound when you're struggling alone.
Don't assume someone else is watching. Become a water watchdog at abbyshope.org.
Slow down.
Slow down and move over.
And move over. When you see lights,
vests,
I'll be flectors.
Please, give us some room. Slow down and move over. When you need us,
we've got your back.
You have ours.
You got our back?
You got ours? You got our back? Please, slow down.
And move over.
This week in the breaking news segment of the radio show, we have plenty of things to speak about. And unfortunately, as I said earlier in the program, there's been quite a few assaults, a number of security officer deaths, and one security officer fighting for his life, a 38-year-old security officer working in St. Louis, Missouri, this past week at the SSM Health Cardinal Children's Hospital, spotted what he thought was a prowler possibly breaking into vehicles. The armed security officer approached the vehicle, at which time he was struck intentionally by the driver, knocking him to the ground. The security officer began shooting at the driver in defense and fatally wounded the driver. 26-year-old woman who is a passenger has been taken into custody and she is facing multiple felonies. The driver of the vehicle yet to be identified, as was the security officer. His name has not been released, but we do know that he is in critical condition, very serious. And hopefully we pray that he comes through this and does fine. We have contacted the hospital. Of course, they're not going to release much information. And we are trying to find out if they have a union in that area and maybe make contact that way. Troy Crumby, a private security, retail security officer, has died of COVID. David Cruz, a security officer in New Mexico, was murdered on the job. We don't have many details about this. A Dallas TSA security officer, Supervisory Transportation Security Officer Clay King, died of COVID. He joined the TSA in 2002. And early this morning, we were notified of another security officer that was shot and killed over the weekend, and we are gathering more information about that. A Chicago, Illinois security officer was shot and killed. The details are few, but we do know that his name was Oliver William McCall Jr. In Florida, very tragic and sad news coming out of Plantation, Florida. Around 3 a.m., 911 began receiving calls of a man down in the parking lot of a mall. Officers responded outside the Broward Mall in Plantation, and they found a police lieutenant dead. An investigation revealed, sadly, that he took his own life there in the shopping center. He's been identified as Lieutenant John Graham. Now, sadly, just a short time before that, Hollywood, Florida police officer Yandy Chirino, 28, was shot and killed in the line of duty. We don't know how they are connected, other than the lieutenant maybe just broke down and decided to end his life. We do know that he was on the job for many years. He made the rank of lieutenant, and officers say that he was a great supervisor. We have several other reports of COVID-19 deaths, but we do not have the names to go along with those. 61 charges. That's what a 16-year-old in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania is now facing after he fired numerous shots inside the mall after a fight. The shooting injured three, including a woman shopping at the mall with her family who was just innocently shot. Jeremiah J. Sanchez is now arrested and charged as an adult. He was using a stolen firearm, which is a federal offense. He's been charged with two counts of criminal attempted murder, three counts of aggravated assault, 52 counts of recklessly endangering another person, and four additional charges relating to that stolen gun. A 16-year-old probably will never see freedom again in his life, all because of some little petty disturbance. Today, that's how people handle indifferences. That's how people handle these minor brush-ups. They use firearms. In the old day, we, of course, used our fists. But times certainly have changed. A private prisoner transport officer has been found guilty in Little Rock, Arkansas, and sentenced to life plus 5 years for sexually assaulting two women that were in his custody. Eric Scott Kinley, 53, was a former private prisoner transport officer when he sexually assaulted on several occasions two different women that had been transported during 2014 and 2017. He also possessed a firearm during these attacks, which escalated the punishment and the charge. Like I said, he has been sentenced to life in prison plus 5 years. He'll never probably be up for parole. He is in his 50s, and he probably will spend his remaining days behind bars. A security officer at a Miami school has been arrested and charged with lewd conduct with a student in Miami. Jorge Macea, 71, was arrested last week on lewd and mischievous conduct on a child. Police say the security guard was working at the Green Springs High School, a charter school, when he made contact with the underage, began groping her, rubbing her, and sexually assaulting. This grandfather has been released on $7,500 bond, but he could face a very long, long time in prison. In Sugar Land, Texas, a security officer working at Memorial Hermann Sugar Land Hospital was notified that a woman in the parking lot was going into labor. The security officer, Sandra Cartanga, responded to the parking lot where she had no choice but to immediately render first aid and deliver the child in the parking lot. According to the press release, the security officer was well prepared, had medical experience, and could not wait for any backup. So she alone delivered that child. In fact, her name is listed on the child's birth certificate as the person who delivered the child. Also coming out of Texas, back a number of years ago, in 2015 actually, we reported that a 71-year-old security officer was sitting in his patrol car at a all-night convenience store when two people ambushed him, and we have a video of that. We distributed it at that time. It showed on the video that they scoped him out for some time before they conversed on his vehicle while he was sitting there, and they shot and killed him and stole his firearm. One of those suspects escaped to Mexico, but within the last few months, he was returned by Mexico authorities to the U.S. Marshals. Well, he's been found guilty of capital murder and automatically sentenced to life in prison without parole for murder and robbery. Security officer Saul Cruz was 71 and died on December 22, 2015. A second suspect, Daniel Marino, 26, also charged with the same crime, has received life in prison. We actually discussed this a number of times over the years on the radio show, and he'll be part of one of our new Frontline Protectors specials coming out next year. But this security officer was hunted by these two men. They were positioned on two different sides of the parking lot in the darkness, waiting for the most opportune time when there was no customers before attacking and killing this security officer for the only purpose of stealing his gun. Coming out of Chicago this past week, Chicago now joins the long laundry list of cities that no longer will prosecute petty theft or shoplifters. Chicago has set the bar of $1,000 or more of product, of merchandise, before they will charge any shoplifter. The only exception to the rule is if force or a weapon is used, and if so, they might be charged with robbery. The state's attorney's office said so far this year, they prosecuted a whopping 38 total for retail theft. 18 were approved as felonies and 10 were prosecuted and 6 were convicted. Not a good track record. The city of Chicago, I know, no doubt, probably has 5,000 or more cases reported to police, and yet, like everything else in Chicago and many other cities, it's no longer going to be considered a crime or a punishable crime. And the retailers, loss prevention, security, they're the ones who are suffering, because shoplifting and retail felony crime and organized retail crime is way up, has been for a number of years. And now security and store personnel, they just have to step aside and let them ravage the stores as they may. And I think that's just really ridiculous. I'd say a few other choice words, but I don't do that. Coming out of D.C., a police officer was kidnapped and assaulted and injured during a traffic stop. Washington, D.C. Police Chief Robert Conte said that officers pursued a man around 4:54 p.m. who was reportedly chasing a person with a gun. They began to engage the man who had the gun. An officer tried to convince him to stop, but the man drove off with the officer hanging off the car, as we've seen many times, and actually made his way into the back seat. The driver would not stop. Officers pursued the vehicle and forced the stop and made the arrest. The police officer was injured. Two other officers received non-life-threatening injuries as well, and the suspect is in custody. A man in Fremont, California, has been arrested, identified as 24-year-old Alejandre Soria of Fremont, California, after he pointed a firearm at a security officer. He is facing several charges after taking off at a high rate of speed. He is in police custody on a $40,000 bond. That really is not much. An armed security officer had to use deadly force and fire his weapon this past week in Philadelphia during an armored truck robbery. The security officer was able to prevent that robbery. A masked armed man held up a Brinks Armor Car employee in the 1900 block of North 5th Street. The security officer was able to draw his weapon and fire it. That prevented the robbery, and the suspect fled. The FBI is still looking for him along with the Philadelphia police. The security officer was not injured. Along with dozens, literally probably at least three dozen school systems or schools throughout the U.S., Paterson, New Jersey now joins that list of bringing back police officers to schools. Because of the increase of violent crime, we're seeing more and more schools having that reimagined police at the schools, having that conversation about bringing them back. Because let's face it, school employees, school principals, they're not made to be law enforcement. They don't have the training, the experience, the knowledge. And so Paterson now is bringing back police. They have also hired a second security company to begin patrolling as well. Macomb, Mississippi, a security officer in critical condition today after three others were killed and three others shot during a gun battle at a nightclub over the weekend in Macomb, Mississippi. We don't have his identity. We don't know who he is, but we do know that it involved a large brawl and a number of armed people in a gun battle. Always a lot of breaking news. Always go to our breaking news page at privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com. You can also sign up for breaking news right there in your email simply by going to privateofficer.org. Sign up today. Every time there's a fast breaking news item, an officer down, or an opportunity for some training, we'll send out that message to you. We don't spam you. We don't charge you. And we're certainly not going to force you to accept anything that you don't want. So this is all free and, of course, volunteer. We're going to take a break as we have a lot more to talk about. But before I do, I want to remind you that we are taking applications at Armor College for adjunct instructors. You don't have to be experienced, although we would prefer that. You can get certified as an instructor in multiple disciplines and areas through our school. Go to armorcollege.org, and at the bottom of the front page where it says partners, you can click there and fill out that application. There's only four simple steps, and you'll be on your way to being an adjunct instructor. And one final note here, we are starting a brand new radio show, adding to our already increasing list of radio content products. But we're looking for someone with some knowledge of public safety, EMS, fire service, and law enforcement to speak as my cohort on the radio program, which will be recorded twice a week, and it will be widely distributed and maybe even have a bigger deal next year. If you have experience in public safety, security, EMS, fire service, you have some knowledge of what's happening in the world. You're a good conversationalist, and you can put a few words together in a sentence. Contact me at helpdesk@privateofficer.com, helpdesk@privateofficer.com for more details. Okay, now we are going to a break right now. We'll be right back.
I met Luke when I was pretty much born. We kind of just grew up together. He got his license when he was 16. We were going to the beach, and Luke was driving, and I was in the passenger seat. And all of a sudden, I don't remember anything. I wasn't conscious for it. We got hit by a drunk driver. I feel like I knew right away that it was never going to be the same. I don't know. The doctors, they were telling me I was so lucky to be alive. When I found out that he died on impact, I didn't really feel lucky. And sometimes I still don't. Drinking and driving is completely unnecessary, and I think it's selfish if you do it. It's not worth taking that risk, because you never know what's going to happen.
For some children, America isn't the land of promise. It's a place where every day is a struggle. Because today in America, 1 in 6 children lives below the poverty line. For these children, living in poverty means going without medicine, going without food, going without a warm home, or even a roof over your head. And that's life for nearly 13 million children of all races, all across America. Where will you draw the line and get involved? You can help these children and their families find a way out of poverty for good. And you can make a difference in more ways than you think. Will you help? Go to povertyusa.org today. Because 1 in 6 children in poverty is one too many. A message from the Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
Control.
I'm controlling my diabetes.
It's making a huge difference.
I'm eating healthy and staying physically active.
I'm taking my medicine.
If I can do it, anyone can.
Control your diabetes for life. Call 1-800-438-5383.
If you live in the greater Charlotte area, including parts of Rock Hill, South Carolina, and over in the area where they're building the new Panthers headquarters, then by all means, contact our friend at Premier Training Academy in Charlotte. The Premier Training Academy offers both North Carolina and South Carolina security officer training, as well as firearms training, first aid, CPR, and other courses. Premier Training Academy, contact our friend John and tell him that Private Officer International sent you their way. 704-806-4933. 704-806-4933. He's a good guy, and I'm sure that you will enjoy the training. Speaking of training, we want to refer you to an organization called RAIN, R-A-I-N-N, RAIN. They are the largest U.S.-based organization that deals with sexual violence. In the United States, sex crimes are increasing in a way that I have not seen increase before. They are increasing so fast. Every year, tens of thousands of people are sexually assaulted. The shocking thing is that many of them do not report. According to this RAIN organization, one out of every six American women has been a victim or an attempted victim of rape or sexual assault in their lifetime. Every 68 seconds in America, an American woman is sexually assaulted. Staggering. 90% of adult rape victims are female. And statistically, over the last 21 years, the number of male victims has increased by over 60%. Those are pretty shocking statistics. And when we look at the world today, when we look at how people look at what crime is, I was in a class yesterday, and we were talking about how people today look differently at the law. No longer is it about doing what's right, obeying the law. People now look at, if I want to do it, I'll suffer the consequences if I get caught. If I get caught. Many people have lost all respect for the law, not only the law enforcer, but the law itself. In the class yesterday, I was quite surprised that several people in their 30s and even a little bit older did not know how the law was made. Who made the law? They didn't know that it came from their state legislators, senators, and representatives. Same thing in the federal law, U.S. senators and legislators. They come up with the law, write the law, go through a number of different areas, discuss it, and sometimes it makes the cut and sometimes it doesn't. But it's very shocking that most people do not know. They do not know how the law is made. So there's a large number of people with true disdain for the law, and they do not even care about what is lawful and what is not lawful. I am shocked more, and I guess I shouldn't be as I get older, I am shocked more every day with the ethics and the moral compass of our citizens, our neighbors, our employees, people that we know. It is surprising, disheartening, disturbing, and about 50 other words, the sad truth about people that you would not expect to commit a crime, especially a serious crime, do and would, if it would benefit them to the degree that they've set for that particular crime or event. I'm talking about sexual assaults today because as security officers, we have a duty to report certain types of crimes. We are called or considered in many states what's called a mandatory reporter. We have to report child abuse, senior citizen abuse, sex crimes, a number of other types of crimes in certain states. There's been a lot of news lately in the last year or two how security officers, not police officers, but security officers mishandled sexual assault complaints on campuses, in shopping malls, and at businesses, large and small. As a security officer, if you have knowledge of, or if someone has reported to you, or if the victim themselves has come to you for aid and assistance, your number one priority, first of all, is to protect that person. Notify police immediately. Even if you think the person is intoxicated, mentally ill, on drugs, or is making it up, your job is not to guesstimate. Your job is not to, let me assess this and see if this is real. Your job is to immediately call 911 and to get the police there as quickly as possible. Turn the victim over to them. Let them take it from there. If you're medically trained and they have been further injured, assaulted, and they need first aid, obviously you want to render that aid as well. If you work in a school environment and you do not report a sexual assault, it is a crime. If you work in a mandatory reporter state and you do not report a sexual assault, it is a crime. You might say to yourself, like many security officers do, I don't want to get involved. I'm just here to observe and report. I hate that cliche more than you know. If a victim comes to you with this type of complaint, this type of crime, this type of victim, immediately call 911. Take the woman to a secure area. If you're working at a school, a mall, an office complex. Last year, a company had a sexual assault, this very large company, and two security officers were involved. And they took her to the security office, which was nothing more than a little office way back in the into the complex that they were at. And they grilled her and took information and wanted to take photos, or maybe they did actually take photos with their phone. They did a whole process like they were police investigators before calling the police. They were not charged, but there has been a lawsuit filed by the victim against the security officers, the security company that they worked for, and the client that they were working at. Don't take it upon yourself to try and find any type of fibers or physical evidence or collect. No, that's not your job. Number one, call 911 as quickly as you can. Provide any medical assistance that you are trained to do. Take the person to a secure area. If you're at a mall or a complex or in the parking lot someplace, you don't want to leave that person out there crying, bleeding, clothes half ripped off. That's just not the way to do it. Take the person. If the person doesn't want to go, find a blanket, a jacket, something to cover them up. Be respectful of that person. And for goodness sake, don't ask big time details of the event. That's none of your business. That's not your job. I strongly suggest that every security officer, public safety officer, school security officer receive training. RAINN, R-A-I-N-N, is an organization that does offer training, but there are many others out there. We have some training as well. Every day, it seems like, in the news, another campus or school security department, another security officer working at some event or business, doesn't take things seriously or doesn't respond adequately, effectively, or properly. And to be honest with you, it's just another broken link in the security service, because our security staff are now policing more than ever. They are doing a lot of what was once police duty. They're doing a lot more patrolling. They're getting involved in many different types of scenarios. I told you a few weeks ago about a young man who who was confronted by a security officer trespassing at a subdivision under construction, and he just, of his own free will, confessed to the security officer about burning $1 million of destruction, burning another subdivision that was under construction. And because of that confession, police were able to solve several large arsons. As we're out there patrolling, as we're out there interacting with the public, as we're out there representing, you know, something that's good, we're supposed to be the good guy. And unfortunately, we just don't take the job as serious as we should. Please, if you have anyone, male or female, teen or adult, that contacts you to report that they've just been a victim of rape, sexual assault, molestation, please get familiar with these terms, these terminologies. But in any event, contact 911 immediately. Describe as much info as you can. Let police know where they can meet you and help the victim, protect the victim, aid the victim. They don't need to be victimized again. That concludes this week's Private Officer Beat radio show. Glad that you have joined us. Remember, you can download or listen to all of our radio shows on demand at iHeartRadio and Amazon Radio Network and any place where you download podcasts or music. Our new radio show, The Frontline Protector, will be widely distributed, and hopefully we might even have a deal down the road with another larger entity that we'll talk about if that comes to fruition. For now, be blessed, be safe, and we'll see you back here, of course, on the radio.